Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to each and every one of you in your respective places. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to speak before you and give you a word. Amen. Amen. In the absence of Glenda and Tanya, I thank God for Mother Moore and Sister Stephanie. Amen. For them being in position and being in place. Amen. It's a blessing to have musicians in the house. Amen. And even if we didn't have them, we would have to use what I would call our feet. Amen. To give us that tune. Amen. That they used to do back in the day when they didn't have musicians. And you had to get your clap right. Amen. But your foot started you off. Amen.
That's right. It drives it.
Amen. So we thank God. Yeah, we got the right church for it, too. Amen. I believe the children are going to their classes. Amen. Our scripture reading is coming from Psalms 118. I try not to give put a lot of scriptures up. One of the reasons why I say that is because sometimes your focus is not on the message. It's on looking at what's on the board. And sometimes I think we can make ourselves lazy in the sense where we're used to you doing it for us, so we're not going to work as hard to turn to that chapter. Amen. It makes us more dependent upon somebody else doing for us. There's nothing wrong with it having it up there. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying sometimes it just makes us lazy. Amen? Amen. Because sometimes you can say, well, shoot, they going to have it up anyway. I just wait till they put it up. Amen? Amen. You need the word of God. Amen? And you need to know how to find it. Amen. Yeah, don't listen to that mother right there. Amen. She messing with you. Everything is in the front. Everything is in the front. Amen. Who's the AP partner? We need to get them on her quick. Do she have one? Or did they resign? Amen. She always messing with me. Amen. Just can't leave me alone. But I love her, though. I love her. Amen. Psalms 118. If you have it, say amen. I'm just going to read this verse. And if I say other verses, I just ask that you write them down and use it as Bible study at your home. Amen. I know there's some that are doing that, but I'd encourage others to do it as well if you're not. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. We've heard that before. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. But you're going to hear it again. Amen. We need to understand, we talked about this before in maybe Bible study or in conversation, you know, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Amen. Happiness is our response to our circumstances. We're happy when our circumstances pleases us. Amen. When things are going our way, it's not hard to get happy about that. We're happy when we feel blessed. Amen. When we feel love, when we feel valued, when we have enough to eat and enough to drink, we are happy. Amen. Happiness is our emotional reflection of positive circumstances. And so happiness is, you need to understand this, is of the world. Amen. It's not a bad thing, but our circumstances are not always in our favor. Amen. So happiness deserts us when we need it the most, when we are going, when we are going through tough times. But joy, on the other hand, is a gift from God. Amen. And you know why people can't touch your joy, because they didn't give it to you. Amen. And it ain't based on your circumstances. This is why you can smile when things are not going right. Amen. And they looking at you like you crazy. But see, you have a joy that's on the inside of you. And it reminds me of when my grandfather would preach, and he would say, when a ship is on the raging sea, but that anchor is dropped down below and it is stabilizes that ship. Amen. That's the way I look at joy. Even though everything above is not going as quite as you would like for it to be, but man, you like that anchor that is stable, that is rock bottom, that's in God, and you are not going to allow the raging sea to discourage you. So joy doesn't desert you when you're going through tough times. Amen. I realize that there are many reasons why people may not feel too joyful. Things like illness and marriages and employment situations, death in the family, just to name a few, may cause us not to, have joy, or may make us feel like we're not joyful. But what I want to say is, many sincere Christians, we need to understand that I understand sometimes that you may lose your joy. Amen. But you need to know where to go and get it. Amen. You need to know where to go and get it, because you don't need to stay joyless. Amen. God has made many provisions for you to get your joy back. Amen. Amen. So you don't have to stay in that situation. God has made provisions for you to get your joy back. You remember David, Jesse's son. He watched the sheep as a boy. David was a musician. He was an armor bearer for King Saul. He killed Goliath. After becoming king, brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem after it had been gone for about 70 years and danced like a madman. David fled for his life with trouble on every hand. He had to do what? Encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes you're not going to have any help. Amen. Sometimes that person you sit next to is not going to be somebody you can call on. They're not going to be somebody that's going to encourage you. So you're going to have to understand the scripture. There's a reason why David had to do it by himself, because he didn't have that help. It was David who, after fighting the battle, came back home and the enemy had taken everything he had, including his wife. Boy, that's enough to make you mad. And when you find out, it's bad enough when your wife is gone and shopping, but somebody took her. Amen. That's another story. Amen. I'd rather she be gone and shopping than somebody come and get her. Amen. That'll make you mad. I mean, I'm just saying, we need to understand this. We need to understand this. He simply starts out the psalm by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He is good, because his mercy endures forever." You got to have some kind of joy to have something to say like that. Amen. Because I know many people who don't have joy, they ain't talking about stuff like that. Give thanks. Give thanks for what? Amen. For some, folks don't always talk like that. Let's just be real this morning. Even Christians who've been born again, we don't always talk like that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we need somebody to pick us up. Amen. We need what they call it, a quicker picker-upper. Amen. We need that. So how many know it's hard to give thanks when you've lost your joy? And it's hard to, I would say, come to church when you're down and out, because you don't want nobody to talk to you. or say anything to you. It's hard to give thanks and wave your hands, you know, and in church. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to put it out there. You know, I can see why some people don't want to wave their hands because they don't have their joy. I mean, they're discouraged, you know. So it's hard to give thanks, wave your hands and say how good God is when you don't have any joy. And it's hard to give God the praise when you're broke and you're pulling lint from your pocket and trying to pay some bills. Amen. You ain't got nothing in your pocket but lint, and you trying to have some joy, but you can't pay your bills. You hungry. I mean, you don't have food on your table. You got kids that wanna eat, but you can't feed them, and you don't have the joy to motivate them, neither yourself. So that's a struggle. It's hard to give praise when you're, let me just say this, when your husband is tripping, staying out all night, drinking and smoking stuff, amen, cheating on you, not being the daddy that he should be. That's hard, amen. Amen. It's hard. It's real hard to give thanks when your wife is tripping. Amen. Won't cook. Amen. Won't clean. Won't have relations with you. So it's hard to have joy when you have, you know, this is me as a pastor speaking, when folks come lying in your face saying, "I'm with you, Pastor." And then all the while they join another ministry that you don't know about. And man, it's hard, I'm just saying, to have joy when you got stuff like this coming in your face and you know they gone to another church, but they're saying, "I'm with you, Pastor." Hard to have joy. But we got to praise God anyhow. Amen. Amen. You may not have it, but you need to find it. Amen. It's hard to give God joy when there's, as the old folks would sing, there's trouble in your way. Amen. We need to be like David and say, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continuously be in my mouth." I mean, you just got to have that. So what does it mean to bless the Lord? It means to speak well of his greatness and goodness and really mean it from the depths of your soul. Your mouth can say anything you can get it to say, but man, when it comes from the depth of your soul, man, it means more than anything. Amen. I mean, anybody can say, "I will bless the Lord at all times." You just let me know you remember that verse. But man, let me see you in the situation. Are you still going to bless the Lord? That's what God is looking for, looking at you in your situation to see what you do. His praise shall continuously be in my mouth. It's a challenge to live our lives in the praise zone. Y'all know what praise zone is? Let me just say it to you this way. When a football team gets into a scoring zone, they call it the red zone. Let me tell you something. You better do everything you can to get that ball in the end zone. Amen? Because you need some points on the board. Let me tell you something. When you are in a praise zone, do everything you can to get God's attention. Because you need him in that moment in your life. In other words, when the team's saying that we need to get some points on the board, you need to get God's ear when you're in that praise zone. See, I understand this. Get me. I want you all to understand this. I'm a pastor. Yes, I understand the scriptures. It is hard to understand the scriptures. It's easy to read the scriptures and say, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth." That's easy to say. Amen? Amen. I can read. I'm not illiterate. I can read. The Bible verses are easy to read, and sometimes it's challenging to live. Why? Life is a struggle. Every day as believers in Jesus Christ, we contend with our fleshly selves, godless culture, and Satan's attacks. If we are going to live in the praise zone, then we better be ready to praise God even in the tough times. In other words, you need to stop for a moment. Stop for a moment and understand who you are. I just, for a moment, let me just say this. You know, and not, most of you may not follow it, but I'm going to just do the best I can. Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks that it is in the NFL, probably won more championships than any other quarterback. Let me tell you something. This man had to probably say to himself who he is. And, man, he's won about five Super Bowls. Whether you love him or like him, it doesn't matter. But understand this. He had to understand who he is. He's a champion. In other words, he knows when he's down how to bring his team up, is what I'm trying to get you to say. So as a child of God, when you get into a bad situation, when you have problems, when you feel down and out, you have to come to a conclusion. You have to look at yourself. You need to reaffirm who you are in God's kingdom. Amen? You need to reaffirm who you are. You are a blood-bought child of God. So if you are bought, that means you're not your own. You belong to God. And if you belong to God, last report that I read is God takes care of his people. So you are a part of God's church. You are the bride of Christ. You are not a part of this world any longer. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, and a praiser. You are a worshiper. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that if you lost your joy, remember who you are. You don't have to live what the devil is trying to tell you how to live. You don't have to live that life. Anyone can praise the Lord when things are going good. I promise you that. I promise you that. You know that. Matter of fact, I'm prophesying that. Y'all heard it? I'm prophesying right now. Anybody can praise God when things are looking good, when you got money in your pocket, when the steady income is coming in. But what about when it ain't coming? Where's your praise? Anyone can praise God when things are going good. But what about when the times are not so good? Because they are coming. Let me tell you something. You're either going in the situation or you're coming out. And if you're coming out, you're going right back in. I'm just putting it out there to you. I mean, that's not the way I designed this. That's the way it is. When you're coming out, you're going back in. It's just a break. You understand what I'm saying? It's a break. Enjoy. That's why when the disciples was on top of the mountain, they said it's good to be here. We're going to have some mountaintop experience. But the Lord is saying, enjoy this for a moment, but you're not staying up here. That's in the Bible. Y'all understand that? But you need to stand with me and refuse to let the devil take your joy. Y'all, anybody let somebody take something from them? Man, I remember my wife told me that when Jeremiah was probably about 4 years old, or maybe three, I don't know, but she was with him, and they were in the bookstore, and Jeremiah is very territorial sometimes. You know, he loves what he loves, and he likes what he likes, and he becomes passionate about what he has. So what I'm saying is I'm using this analogy. He was in a store, and some little boy came up to him and took what was in his hand out. My wife said, Jeremiah, grab that boy and pinned him down. Because he came and took what he valued. What I'm trying to tell you, Jeremiah at that age wouldn't stand for somebody taking something from him. How much more you being an adult? Let the devil take your joy? No. My wife said Jeremiah had a grip on this boy. She said she couldn't hardly pry him off. She said that's how tight he had him. She said he had him hemmed up. He values. You don't believe me? Mess with his sister. He turns into the Incredible Hulk.
I haven't got to the point where I had to sit him down and teach him. That's just the man that's in him, that is growing inside of him, that is coming out of him. You understand that? It is already, I'm telling you, it's inside of you. You are a child of God. It's inside of you. We need to understand. God has given us this as an example of how the people who have gone through made it through. Y'all remember Nehemiah? He said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Man, when you ain't got nobody else to help you, you got to say it for yourself. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And all I'm saying is that if there's no preacher around, if there's no choir around, if there's no praise team around, you got to preach to yourself. You got to tell yourself that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to tell you something. Get an attitude with it. Don't say it all pretty. Get an attitude. Some of y'all know y'all don't take no stuff off nobody. Y'all, I'm telling you right now, don't take no stuff off the devil. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't take no stuff off anybody, but then you're going to let the devil come and do this to you? No. Don't take no stuff off of him. Just think for a moment of all the places you could have been. Think of all the places God has spared you from. Think of what God has brought you from. You remember, I used to like when, you know, he said, God has brought me from a mighty long way. Man, that speaks a lot. Man, as a child growing up, I didn't understand this stuff when I was young. But man, I'm glad they kept singing it anyhow. I'm glad they kept ringing it into my ears, because when you're faced with those situations, you got to rely back on that. This is the main problem right here. We need to understand something. I said this before, and it's worth saying again. Y'all know how many times that when you go to the restaurant, and as soon as you come up, the waiter always want to start you off with something. They understand that you're hungry. Your meal will be here in a moment, you know, once you place your order. But in the meantime, they have something that's already prepared for you to attack that hunger pain. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It's called an appetizer. Those appetizers are ready in the back for you when you sit down to get you going until your full course meal comes. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have to understand, sometimes if you can't make it to church, and if you got a song in your spirit, it works as an appetizer to attack that pain that you're feeling inside of you. It works. You know what? That's why the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God is not care. Don't care if you're an R&B singer. He don't care if you're on the top gospel charts. All he wants you to do is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing praises. That's all God cares about. Some of us, you know, we get to the point where, you know, we always say, well, the preacher is always asking, you know, us to give. Always want us to give something. You say, well, pastor's job is to preach and for us to listen. The reason why we are in our situation is because we're not giving. Amen. Y'all want to know why? That's why it starts off by saying, oh, give thanks. Oh, give. Give come before thanks. They said give. Many of us don't want to give anymore. I hear people say, hey, you invite somebody to church. Y'all got good singing. I love to come if you got good singing. What about you giving? The only spectator on Sunday morning should be God. We should all be worshiping. Why you think I don't sit up here in the pool in on this stage? You know what I'm saying? Because we all should worship together. This ain't about me. Amen? This is about us worshiping God, looking together, worshiping and praising his holy name. This ain't about me. You ain't worshiping me sitting up on this throne and you looking up here at me. No, take your eyes off of me and look at the one who can save you. Many of these churches got people elevated up on these platforms and they sitting there watching them as if they're almighty. They ain't nothing without God. It's real hard to give thanks. It's real hard to give thanks. I understand that. But the very first thing David said was to give thanks. Before we can expect to receive the joy of the Lord, we have to first give. Before God can show you that he is good, it requires action on your part, and that is to give. Before your job gives you a paycheck, it requires action on your part. What is that? You gotta work. Amen? How many know a job is just going to, you sign up for them, and all of a sudden, your first day, here's your check. It don't work that way. You got to work. And then you don't get paid at the end of the week. You got to work again. Amen? And you got to show up again for work. Then in 2 weeks, you'll get something in the mail. Or it'll be directed to your checking account. That's the way that operates. But most of us, we want to get it right now. It don't work that way. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning, you got to give. You got to put something in it. Many of us are not putting anything in it. In Psalms 118, just up and down this verse, just read it. It says, I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. This is the next reason why we ought to rejoice in the Lord, is because we can always call on him. Amen? Not just when we are happy, but we can call on him anytime. I mean, anytime you can call on God. It doesn't matter. He sleeps nor slumbers. He is always awake. He is outside of time. It has no effect on him. But see, you can call on God anytime. But I can't say that about everybody. Because you can't call everybody every time. Now that we have advanced in technology, when the phone rings, the first thing we look at is the caller ID. Amen? We want to know if we want to be bothered this morning or this evening. Amen? We look at it and we do like this. You know, it's bad when you take your glasses off, you got to see. Amen? You're looking at the caller ID to see who is this calling. Oh, I ain't trying to fool with her now. Not saying that anybody say that, but that's just something that I believe that's what we would say. Oh, I don't feel like being bothered. He must want some money. See, I got to balance this thing. I got to say he, she. Because if I just say she, y'all know I'm going to be in trouble. So I'm balancing this thing. There's a balancing act up here. I got to say she, and I got to say he. Because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble. Folks be looking at you. You didn't say he enough. And you said she too much. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to work through this. Amen. Help me as I'm trying to go through this. But we need to understand that not everybody's going to accept your call. But thanks be to God, I used to hear the old folks sing, Jesus is on the main line. This is why my soul craves for those old spiritual songs. I mean, I understand the new songs, but man, those old spiritual songs, it just does something to your soul. It's basically telling them that regardless of what time of day it is, he's always on the main line. And I believe they relate that to a time when they were growing up, the telephones wasn't like what we had. I think they called it a party line or something like that. I'm not up that age, but I heard some people talking about that. I'm just saying they called it a party line, so it just let them know that he's on the main line. Tell him what you want. Amen. And regardless of all the folks that's on the line, the Lord knows who he's talking to. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, no matter how many people are talking, God can, you know, my kids, they want to talk to me at the same time. They like, my daughter is saying this to me, and Jeremiah is saying this to me, and I got to be careful how I respond to my daughter, because she'll take it and run with it. You know, I got to say, hold up now, what did you just say here for a moment? You know, Jeremiah, I can kind of, you know, push him off a little bit, but you got to watch that woman, that girl. She'll sneak something on you, man. You know I'm talking about Mitch, man. Come on, y'all amen me this morning. I got to watch my daughter. I got to say, hold on, hold on. I got to give her my undivided attention because she's asking for something that I may not be able to, you know, produce. So I have to ask her, hold on, what, hold on, Sabrina. Hold on, whoa, 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 whoa. What you say? She's quick, man. She's quick. She already, man, I'm going to tell you something. My daughter, she already is operating in her gift. I'm telling you, she ain't number 5 years old. She checked Jeremiah so hard, she said to him, said, what did you say? Jeremiah said, what? He repeated. He said, no. What did you say before you said that? He said, what are you talking about? I said, Jeremiah. I said, say you don't remember. Say you don't remember. I'm trying to get him out. I said, say you don't remember. She's like, no. Whoa. She said, hold on, wait a minute. What did you say before you just said that? You said something. Jeremiah's like, I said, Jeremiah. My wife is in the kitchen laughing. I'm like, come on over. I said, so you don't remember? He said, I don't remember. She said, oh, yes, you do. You know what you said. I said, oh, Jesus, this girl. 5 years old, she already going in on him. I mean, that's dangerous. Don't y'all know that's dangerous? Boy, Lord have mercy. My son, I'm trying to bail him out. I'm like, come on. Come on over here. Trying to teach him, stay with daddy. Just say you don't know. That works. I don't remember. I don't. It's a medication I'm taking. It's just, I'm telling you, it's got to work. Psalms 118. Let me tell y'all this. It's better. The Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Trusting in the Lord is better than trusting in man. We love to put our trust in man, don't we? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Every time you cross that Poplar Street Bridge, you trust in man. They working on it. You still crossing it. Amen? Amen? You want the bridge is collapsing. They working on it. We talking about man. They working on it. They slid the bridge. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Did you see the time lapse? They slid the bridge, moved it over. Hey, man, hold up. I ain't riding on that. Not right now. But we are trusting. Let me tell you how much we trust, man. Let me just go there with y'all. When we go to the Six Flags, the amusement parks, we get on these roller coasters. Don't we just wave our hands in the air? We got so much confidence, we don't even hold on to the rail. We forget to strap in. But don't we get on there, we be like, whoa! Don't we? Oh, y'all know I'm hitting something here this morning. We trust man, not knowing that could fly off the tracks. We putting our confidence and our trust, but we won't trust in the Lord. We won't put our trust in the Lord. So every time you cross that bridge, you're trusting man. Every time you wave your hands in the air on that roller coaster, you trust in man. But when we tell you to come to church, all right, come on, lift those hands. And then every night you see him go like, it'd be like this. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I guess that's the cool way of doing it. But it should be like this. But we want to get cool with it. Wave those hands. That's as high as your hands can go. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than man. If you need to know that we all better trust in the Lord. I said we better trust in the Lord.
In Jeremiah 17 and 5, it says, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Amen. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. God is telling us right here that if you do not trust in me and trust in man, guess what? You will be cursed. That's bad. Because that tells me this. God says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Do you want to be blessed? Does anybody need to be blessed today? The answer is yes. No wonder life is going so hard for people, because people are not trusting in God, so you're being cursed. That's scripture. I didn't write this. My name is I didn't write this. You need to understand that your problems is based upon how you respond to God's word. If you respond in a negative way to God's word, it's going to be a negative effect on you. It doesn't hurt me. I'm going to tell you something. Whether you praise God or not, I'm still going to be praising him. That lets me know that, you know, even when things were going rough, you know, there are a lot of things I didn't know as a child growing up, but I know it now. I didn't know that we didn't have this or we didn't have that, or my parents were struggling with this, struggling with that. All I know is that they took care of me. Y'all follow me? I didn't know that we had hard times. I couldn't tell that we had hard times. All I could tell is that I had loving parents that took care of me. That's all I know. But what I'm saying is that as I seen that, I watched them the same that they were even when they had things, when they had a job, when money was coming in, they still was the same. So what I'm trying to tell you is that they praise God regardless. Regardless, I never knew my grandfather was laid off. Never knew Brother Moore was laid off. Never knew these things. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, they're not kidding you. They're telling you how they worship God despite of their situation. Because they didn't have happiness, they had joy. Amen? The Bible says in Psalms 118, 14, the Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. We need to understand this. God is our everything. Amen? He is our everything. He is everything that you need, everything that you want. In any situation, anything that you're going through, he is what you need and all you need. Amen. So some of us, you know, and I'm going to say this, you know, you hear people say this, and this is a true statement. You know, you hear people get up and testify. They say, some of you should have been, you know, I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. That's a reality. Some folks escaped death. God spared them, allowed them to be here a little while longer. The drugs that you may have taken could have took you out. Could have took you out of here. That Bud Light you were drinking on could have caused you to crash. Amen. But God said, no, I'm not through with you yet. You still hanging around for a purpose. Amen. We don't understand all the things that God do, but we understand that God is with us. Amen. So if none of us, if I can name a whole lot of reasons, but if none of those reasons fit you, then this one should fit you. We should rejoice just because God has let us see another day. Amen. I can go through a lot of list of things, and people say, ain't none of those fit me. But I bet you this, God allowed you to see this day. You ain't never seen this day before. This is a brand new day, a day that you have never seen before. This may be a Sunday, but it ain't the Sunday you seen before. It wasn't last Sunday. This is this Sunday. This is a new Sunday, a new day, a new beginning. I'm just saying, you need to understand that God could have allowed you to stay in your mess, but yet he brought you out. He made this day
Stacy, you got to make it personal. He made this day with me in mind, so I will rejoice and be glad in it. He's got your best interest in mind. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. Let me tell you something. If somebody in your world is telling you something negative, the best thing you can do is shut it off. You ain't got to listen to that. Why we entertain foolishness? Why we entertain somebody that ain't, you ain't got to say much to them. Just cut it off and move on. We should be, it should be an automatic response. There's some things that we don't need a preacher to say to us. Some things are just common sense. I ain't got to be around that foolishness. So we need to understand this is the day which the Lord has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. David closes this passage with the same way he opens it. He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever." I was wondering, why is he saying the same thing when he closes the scripture as he opened the scripture? The reason why he says the same thing is because it's going to take the same thing. What do you mean? The same praise that you gave before the storm is the same praise you need to do during the storm. I mean, and after the storm. The same praise you gave before you started having trouble in your way is the same praise it would take you to get that trouble out of your way. That's what I'm saying. The praise it took to get you up is the same praise it would take to get you out. God is due the same praise that he's due. There is nothing that you need to do different is praising God. It's just to praise him. What I'm saying is that if you worship your way in, then worship your way out. Amen? Amen. When I go over somebody's house, the way I went in is the same way I come out. So I'm trying to teach you that the same way that you praise God, if you find yourself in a bad situation, all you got to do is continue to praise and you'll see yourself out. Because if you praise going in, there's just praise going out. So if you were worshiping going in, just worship your way out. So just do the same thing. It's important for us as children of God to have joy. Because people are watching us. Did y'all know that? And you better know it if you don't know it. Folks are watching you. People on my job, they know I'm a pastor. They know I'm a preacher. And they sit there and they watch for just any smickle, anything. I mean anything. If I stump my toe, want to hear if the preacher gonna cuss. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all think I'm playing. If I hurt myself, oh, man, I thought he was going to cuss. They are listening to a child of God. They are watching to see how you will respond. How you respond is how they're going to, I knew it. They're going to run and tell everybody. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They're going to run and they're going to tell everybody what you said and what you did. Y'all know that preacher down the way? Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I heard him say? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all better know. Mm-hmm. Ain't all that. They're watching us. It's not that we're all that. But when we become believers in Christ, when we are walking in the newness, we need to understand this. Yes, we're going to have trouble. Yes, we're going to have problems. That's only because we're living in a sinful world. That's just going to happen. But guess what? You are better off, amen, than anybody that is walking, that's not a child of God. So I'm just saying to you this morning as I close, it's good for us to look back over our life, the days and the nights that we had problems. David looked back
at the many days and nights that he spent hiding in caves and sleeping in the wilderness as he ran from Saul. David had great reasons to give up. Felt like God wasn't with him. Being chased by a madman. But sometimes you got to look back over your life and see how God has delivered you over and over again. See how he brought you through this sickness. See how he brought you through this tragedy. See how he brought you through this layoff. And trust me, if something happens to a child of God, know that God is aware of it. Sometimes you got to slow down and let people hear what you're saying. Know that God is aware of it. There is nothing that is hidden from him. Everything is open. It's an open book for him. He knows, he sees it, he's aware of it. Matter of fact, he knew it before you even got to it. Remember when you were in those good days? He saw those good days, right? He also saw this tragedy. He also saw these events coming along. So what I'm saying is that God was right there. He sees all that. David looked back over his life, and he saw how God has been there for him. That's why he was able to take down Goliath. He said, God was with me when I had to deal with this bear. He was with me when I had to deal with this lion. So if he was with me those two times, I know he'll be with me now. He said, I ain't come with the sword. I came in the name of the Lord. See, many of us show up in the name of ourselves. Did y'all hear that? Many of us show up in the name of ourselves. Who are you? Where were you when the foundation was laid? Amen? You need to come in the name of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When you're walking in God's newness, when you're walking in God's blessing, when you're walking in your purpose, things will start to happen for you that you didn't even know what or possibly could happen. Why? That's because you have surrendered all to the Lord. See, I recognize that God did what God did for me. I could not have done for myself. I recognize that all that I've been through, that all that I'm going through, that I can still have joy. Christians should be the most joyful people on the face of this earth. Why? Because I read the story at the end. It says, we win. Amen? That's the conclusion. How many of you all have turned the game off when your team was losing? Because you don't know the conclusion. You don't know that there's a comeback that's on the horizon. Amen. How many of you have looked at the Cardinals and say, oh, man, they are just a horrible team. But look how they playing ball now. Now everybody want to bring out their paraphernalia, want to walk around with their Cardinal gear on, want to wear the ball cap because they say they winning now. But what about when they wasn't winning? Were you still a fan? Amen. Did you put the stuff in the box and just kick it over there? Amen. Did you withdraw your fanship? I don't even know if that's a word. I just threw it in there. It sounded good. What did you do? Amen. What did you do? But you see, understand what I'm saying. We will win. We have won. We've got the victory. You as a child of God got to believe that. Amen? You know that God has made a way out of no way for the people of the Bible, and he will do the same for us. These are just not fairy tales. These are real life people that have gone through situations that God is saying, just like I did it for them, I will do it for you. Because he said in his word, I'm a God that changes not. While we may change, while the seasons may change, he's still the same. While some people are funny acting, they don't want to talk to you, they don't want to answer your call, God is saying, I'm still the same. Isn't that a blessing?
Y'all know y'all got folks that don't even want to talk to you no more. Been knowing them all your life and can't even talk to them. Don't even want to have, they don't even want to have anything to say to you. But God is saying, I'm still the same. So as I close, I'm just telling you, don't let the devil steal your joy. Amen. Amen.